Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Thank you, Keith. Welcome, Facebook land. Good to see you here this morning. How is everybody? Good? How good? How good is God? How good is the presence of God? Oh, man. That was so good this morning. Could have stayed there forever. Who loves the Word? I love the Word. I love the Spirit. I love the move of the Spirit and I love the Word. The two together work in harmony. The Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. A triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't try and work it out. Often we're trying to work things out in the natural. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. It's about the Spirit. And one of my favourite scriptures is not by might, not by power, man's power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's what it's about this morning. I went for my usual Sunday morning walk and I was asking the Holy Spirit as to what did he want me to say anything extra than what I've already got planned. And it's good to have a plan, but it's also good to have the extra. And the extra really is the Holy Spirit. I call him extra. Because if you can be born again and the Holy Spirit come and fill you afresh, but there's something about the Holy Spirit getting on you. Tom talked about fervency and that's the Holy Spirit getting on you and in you and on you. However, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And very, very powerful when an individual knows God and knows his salvation, but then works in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm always intrigued by that. While I was out on my walk this morning and the Lord dropped into me. In fact, it dropped into my office, which is I have my works that I've done by my hand, my building projects on in a frame. And I have two of them in the office and I look at them regularly and say, well, that one took forever and, wow, that one there was something else. And it's good to look at those things. But through the week, we heard a huge big crash. And little did we know, but one of the pictures fell onto behind my desk and it cut one of the internet cables. And it's interesting, as I picked the picture up, the rope on the back had frayed. It no longer had the strength to hold that picture on the wall. It no longer had the strength. So I just ripped the cord off and I put a metal one on and I said, now you're going to stay on the wall. I'm going to strengthen you like you wouldn't believe. I whacked two dirty big screws in it and a huge big bit of wire. I said, you're not coming down now. And that's what God's saying to me this morning is God wants to strengthen us. Yeah. God, you know, your achievements of the past are fantastic, but they'll only last for a little while on that old wineskin. It needs to be a new cord, a new thing God wants to do. And in Isaiah 54:2, it says to enlarge the place of your tent. Do not hold back. Don't hold back on God. Don't hold back on what God wants to do in your life. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. God wants to strengthen us by the power of his Holy Spirit this morning. If you can feel that, just receive it. I might only just get this far. Holy Spirit, you take over. Otherwise, I'm trying to convince you. It's a Holy Spirit work. It's his work. It's not mine. It's not my articulate words. It's not how I deliver it or what I do or what Keith might say, Di, Belinda, or anybody else. It's a work of the Holy Spirit and power. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Why don't you just receive that? Yeah. Just receive that now. Just receive a strengthening in the Holy Spirit this morning. As I asked God and he gave it to me. He said, deliver it. Okay, I will. You have to receive it. Just receive it. If you believe it, receive it. Just receive. Feel that strengthening of the Holy Spirit now on your cords. Holding you afresh. Holding you. Strengthening you. See those screws going in. See that new cord going on. I can stand stronger now by the power of his might. We're not called just to hang on the wall, however. You're not just to look good on the wall. This is not ivory tower stuff. Where you remember those two guys on Sesame Street? They were up in the loft. Does anybody remember their names? It's on the Muppets. The two old guys. Remember their names? And they used to just juggle each other and they used to criticize and they used to point at the whole thing and they used to kick each other and joke and carry on. Don't be like that. We need to get involved. We need to find out what God's call is on your life. Power of the Holy Spirit's here this morning. I don't know whether you can feel it or not, but I tell you what, I'm getting affected by him this morning and I'm sort of getting a bit mixed up. Yeah, throw it back at you, buddy. And you. I want to talk about promise. I want to talk about power. And I want to talk about position. But before I do, I'm going to read a manuscript from Christopher Columbus. Now, Christopher Columbus, back in the 1400s, on the way to 1500, he was a Christian and he wasn't going to sit and do nothing. He was a Spaniard. He said, I'm going to go and explore the world. This is straight out of his manuscript. I'm going to read it to you this morning, and I believe it's going to help us understand a little bit more about the go. I don't know whether to put these on or put them off. Again, I'm a little mixed up. It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. Who knows, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to Christopher Columbus back in 14-something. 1492. Did you learn that at school, Dawn? Did you? When he sailed? You remember that from school? Fantastic. Somebody sat up in history class, didn't they? And so the Lord put something into his mind. Imagine yourself, the Lord put it into my mind and I felt his hand upon me. When I read this, it's like scripture. It's like, seriously, it just does something inside of me. The fact that it would be possible. The fact that it would be possible. This hadn't been done before. Get on a ship and sail. That it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. And now listen to this. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter and ridicule. And they ridiculed me. We don't think too much of it because we'll get on a plane and go all the way over to America or somewhere else in a few hours. They reckon now, I heard somewhere, that they've tapped into the light year thing and like something is like, you know, planets are millions of light years away, that we can tap into a light year and go there in a matter of days. It's ridiculous. Then he says this, there is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. So he didn't question. He was in relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit put it into his mind. And so I'm praying this morning that God would place something in your mind this morning of the things of God, what he wants you to do. And it'll be a Holy Spirit work. Because he comforted, and it was Holy Spirit, because he comforted me. The Holy Spirit is the great comforter. He comforted me with rays of marvelous illumination from the Holy Scriptures. This is Christopher Columbus writing this. Has anybody heard this before? For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence, mathematics, or maps. He just set sail. He listened to the Holy Spirit and he set sail. It's not a work of the flesh, it's a work of the Spirit. Is anybody hearing me this morning? It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied, and we can only assume what he was saying because it doesn't say. I'm thinking it's Isaiah 40, 22, which I might read later. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Saviour. If it is just and if it is the intention is purely of his holy service. The fact that the gospel must still be preached to so many lands in such a short time, this is what convinces me. He knew that the gospel had to go further than his own hometown or even his family or his set of friends. The gospel had to go much further than that. So he heard the Holy Spirit speak to him and he set sail. He threw out intelligence. He just threw it out. There was many others. I'm just going to move to the last one. And it's really interesting. I've got two little maps there. The bottom one is the four journeys that Columbus did from Spain down into the Indies. There was four of them, four trips. Who do you think this guy might be up here? Captain Cook. Look where Captain Cook went. He went right around. He circumnavigated the whole earth a couple of times, bumped into Australia. And it's interesting, he was a Christian too, and he's, sorry. I've blown that. He was an Anglican. and his wife gave him a prayer book, the Anglican prayer book, and when he discovered a lot of these islands, he named the islands Pentecost Island purely out of the prayer book. He couldn't come up with the words himself, so he just used the prayer book to name things. Fascinating. Now, I want to talk about Magellan. Anybody heard of Magellan? It was only 20 years after Columbus. Magellan was the first person to actually circumnavigate the world. Columbus had paved a way for somebody to come behind and go around the world. Now, like him or loathe him, but Donald Trump, am I allowed to say that in church? He's paving the way, I believe, for somebody great to come and lead that country. We don't necessarily all agree with everything that he's doing, but I tell you what, he's shaking it up and he's pioneering something that needed to shift. And even if I'm here today shifting something for somebody else to come behind and do it better than me, fantastic. That's our call. Hear what the Holy Spirit says and do it. Throw your maps out, throw your intelligence out and follow the Holy Spirit. Get fervent for God. Come on. Everyone should be grabbing their stuff now and heading out the door. But just wait a moment. Because you'll miss out on what I'm going to say about Magellan. Now, Magellan hit some islands I'm not exactly 100% sure where, but this is what happened. Magellan, having noticed in the chief's house a sick person in a very wasted condition, asked who he was and from what disease he was suffering. He was told that it was the chief's grandson and that he had been suffering for 2 years from a violent fever. Magellan exhorted him to be of good courage, that if he would devote himself to Christ, he would immediately recover his former strength. Remember, we're talking about strengthening this morning. And so receive this right now. Anybody who's sick, Maria, I know you're sick. Anybody else who's sick this morning, I'm just prophesying, declaring that wellness is going to come to your body as I read this right now. You ready? Are you ready? Yes. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The Indian consented. So when we consent, when we give over of ourselves and we trust God and adored the cross and received baptism, and the next day declared that he was well again, rose from his bed and walked about. Woo! Remember, this was 2 years. And a man of God comes in and changes everything. A man who got in touch with the Holy Spirit, got in touch with his call and his passion and his mission. And I tell you, I feel it on me now. I feel like a spirit of slap across the body of Christ and say, come on! Come on! Stop fooling around with whatever you're doing or whatever you're preaching. That's not the gospel. Gospel means good news. Yes. And it's the good news we need to preach of his healing, of his salvation, of the Holy Spirit. People's lives changing before your eyes. Who wants to see that? Woo! I want to see more of that. Oh! These sort of stories get me going. Because these sort of stories are the things that I want to do and they're the sort of things that you want to do. I feel a little bit of somebody coming on me. And the Indian consented and adored the cross. He accepted the cross. He received Jesus. A new life and a resurrection power came over him after 2 years. And the next day he declared that he was well again. He rose from the bed and walked about and took his meals like all the others. And the chief, listen to this, and the chief and over 2,200 Indians were baptized and professed the name of Jesus Christ by faith. My message did not come with articulate words and fancy stuff. It was the work and the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. We've got to get into this thing, man. We can't stop talking about it and just get into it. Someone's receiving over there. So just receive. It's not about a head knowledge. It's not about a good message. It's not about me getting you excited or slapping you up the side of the head with Holy Ghost power. It's about him, full of the Holy Spirit and power. The sign of Pentecost wasn't tongues, it was power. They received power. Just say power.
Power.
I received the power. And the fruit of it was tongues. just like a good shoe, it comes with a tongue. Holy Spirit, the completeness of a shoe is the tongue. Desire it. Seek after it. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, it says. Praying in the Holy Spirit will build you up. He's in us. He's got to get on us. He's in us, but he's got to get on us. And that's talking about a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Like that picture, if I just stay as that cord, I will deteriorate. It won't be long before I come crashing down to the ground. I need a renewal of the Holy Spirit every day. I need a fresh touch of God. I don't want to rely on my past or the strength of my previous cord. I want the strength of the Holy Spirit in my life. In him we live and move and have our being. So how do I get this strength? And I've alluded to it this morning, that we are a people of promise, says, and we have been made powerful by the Holy Spirit, and our position is in Christ, talking about identity. So if there were three things apart from a touch of God this morning that you take away with you this morning, is that we are a people of the promises of God. If you do not read your Bible, which are full of the promises of God, you're doing yourself an injustice and in disservice. Because it's the Holy Spirit then that draws that word up and you apply it to your life and to your circumstances. That's how it works. So do I need to be full of the Holy Spirit and power? Yes, I do. I can't just stay in an evangelical mindset on just the, dare I say it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures, which are fantastic in themselves. But it is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three individuals that come as one, look as one, but yet very individual in nature and mission. Father, the instigator of everything, creator. Jesus, redemptive, sent by the Father. We need to bring forgiveness back to the planet. We need to bring connection back to God again. Otherwise, we're just going to stay in this law thing and you'd never make it. Jesus comes and he forgives and brings a new covenant. Then he says, wait on, guys, I'm heading off. Imagine the disciples. You know, it says in John, if you read the book of John, I think it's 14, 15, 16 and 17, in that whole, those four chapters, absolutely fascinating, Jesus talking to his disciples, comforting them and saying, listen, guys, I'm heading back home, but I'm going to leave you with somebody who's just like me. And his name's Holy. Holy Spirit, that's his name. I'm going to leave you with him because he will be just like me. He'll talk like me. He'll counsel like me. He's all truth. He'll counsel. He'll do all of those things for you. You need to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I went on my walk this morning and I asked Holy Spirit, what do you want to do this morning, Holy Spirit? Got to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. But let's just get back to this. We are a people of promise where there's so many promises in the Word. I just pulled just a few out. There's so many promises. Just Just feel some of these. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will not fall off the wall. As you wait upon the Lord, if that's a scripture for you, if that's a promise for you, apply it to your life by faith. That's how you appropriate it. Isaiah 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. If you're walking through something now, apply this scripture to your life. No harm is going to come to you. Trust God. Receive this morning the goodness of God. No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue of accusation against you. I think of Christopher Columbus. He must have refuted every tongue that came against him. I'm sure the whole town was against him. Say, you idiot, what the heck are you doing? Getting on a ship and going all the way out onto the deep ocean and throwing your maps out as well. You're an idiot. I can hear it now. You'll fall off the edge. We won't get into the flat earth theory, as some are into. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. It's your heritage. We have an amazing heritage. An amazing spiritual heritage. If you read the word and come back into Hebrews chapter 11 and start digging your way into there and look at all the heroes of faith, and they were, and it was by faith, the appropriation of the promises of God, which is what got their name written in the book. You need to get into the promises of God and appropriate them to your life. I've just Googled a few and put them on a bit of paper. But you've got to get it off the paper. It's got to come out of here and into your heart. And as Pete just said, renew your mind and let the Holy Spirit bring it into your life, into your circumstances. That's how it works. That's why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can't do it just with the word only. Otherwise, you're just filling your head with stuff. And what does it do? Proud, haughty, I know this, I'm better than you. It's a work of the Holy Spirit and power this morning. Second Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, which is a lot, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The promises are yes. And when you say amen, you appropriate it. The promises are true. They are yes. But it's when you get into agreement and you say, amen. Amen. When you say grace at the kitchen table, you say amen. When you believe in what somebody just prayed, you say amen. 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 We appropriate it by faith. Faith is my positive response to the promises of God. That's how I say it. You can go back into the other things that say faith, but I feel like it complicates it more. Faith is my positive response to the promises of God. Let's take one. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil, and he might flee from me. Is that positive?
No.
It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to, first of all, submit yourself to God. It doesn't say resist the devil, which we go straight for the jugular at times. Devil, get out of my life! Submit yourselves to God first. Get into praise, into worship, in the presence of God. Submit yourself to God first. Then out of that, resist the devil, clear off, boot off, nick off, get out of here. Whatever words you want to put on it, and he will flee from you. That's appropriating by faith. That's my amen, saying yes to the promise. You can do that anytime you like. In any situation, you can do that. So we are a people of the promises of God. Second, we have been made powerful through a work of the Holy Spirit. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and to scorpions and to overcome all. Everyone say all. Everyone say all. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Sometimes we need to get a little aggressive. Instead of sitting back and being just like a wall painting or a wall flower. It's about walking in faith in the redemptive work of the cross. You have to shake it off, this stuff. I remember Paul in the end of book of Acts 28, he ended up on an island in amongst some foreigners who there was a fire. And a viper comes and grabs him on the hand. And they all said he's a goner. But what did Paul do?
Shook it off.
He what?
Shook it off.
He what?
Shook it off.
He shook it off. When the devil comes and bites you, shake it off. And he shook it off and he put it in the fire. And they waited for him to die. Because they thought he was of the devil. Because their belief system was if a viper bites you, you're of the devil. But he shook it off and he lived. He shook it off. We have to shake these things off. Sometimes in your thoughts, if it was at all possible, you've got to do this. Get off. Just try that. That's it. Bit more. And then one big one. Ugh. No, I didn't say fly. You look very Pentecostal this morning when you did that. I wish I had the video back the other way. All these people going like this. What you talk about? Paul shook it off. You've got to shake the negativity off. You've got to shake that depression off. You've got to shake those things off. You've got to shake those things in your mind that are trying to pull you away. Shake it off, Megan. Shake it off, sister. That's it. Receive that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So you're a people of the promises of God, yes. And you appropriate them how?
By faith.
Oh, what was it again?
Faith.
Awesome. And faith is my to the promises of God. You sure? You have been made powerful.
Yes.
Through a work of the Holy Spirit. And my position is now in Christ. I see so many people who know the Word, who know the Holy Spirit, but they don't know who they are. How does that work? My identity is in Christ. It's not in who I am or what I do. My identity is in Christ. It's who He is. It's not who I am. I am something, by the way, because He created me that way. Don't put yourself too low that you're a worm, because that wouldn't be scriptural either. It's about a work of the Holy Spirit in the vessel, a strengthening of the vessel, a strengthening of the cord. You are not a grub. You are a butterfly. You are supposed to fly. You are supposed to explore new territory. You are exposed to explode for God. Fervent power of God. Just reading a scripture to see if that's right. Yeah, this would be good. Matthew 11, 11 and 12. I tell you the truth, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Who remembers John the Baptist? He was prepare ye the way for Jesus Christ, yeah? I love John. He had his own disciples. He had faith. He brought something. He was preparing the way. He was a little bit like Columbus. And Magellan came after and circumnavigated the world. John the Baptist was very much like, well, I'm going to go this far, but someone's going to come greater and he's going to do something spectacular. He's going to circumnavigate around earth. Yet, now listen to this, yet he was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Fantastic guy. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What? What did you just say? He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It means somebody who just gets saved is greater than John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist was greater than all of the other prophets, everybody else. Jesus put him in a category way up here. Greater than all the Isaiah and all of those guys, Ezekiel, greater than all of them. And yet Jesus comes and promotes you higher than all of that. Wow. Get a picture of yourself. Get a picture of the identity that Christ has won for you on the cross. Get an identity of who you are in Him. You can get on a ship and you can throw out the maps and you can get a word from God and you can go. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. This is the time of go. It's not the time of stop. It's not the time to wait for Jesus to come back. It's not that time. He'll come back when He's good and ready. Then it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men and women lay hold of it. I'm laying hold of something this morning and I'm declaring in the spiritual realm this morning that we are advancing as a church into new territory. We threw out the map. Sorry, guys. We don't know where we're going. Uncharted waters, we say. Does it feel empty at times? Yep. Does it feel like where there's no wind at all? Yep. Does it feel like there's wind at times? Yep. Does it feel like a storm? Yep. But I'm going on what God's word says. You see, there's a rhema word, what's called a rhema word, where God gets hold of a logos word. This, if you have this Bible, all of these words are purely logos. They just sit in pages in a book in black and white. But when God gets hold of a word in there, and often it's a word in season for us, and it's either a prophetic word or a promise, it all of a sudden becomes a rhema. It comes alive. And it's something happens in your heart. And it comes alive inside of you. And I tell you what, somebody ripped a pocket off my shirt one day. She had a rhema word. My husband needed to be straightened out. The kingdom of Belinda is being forcefully advancing for a long time in this household, and a forceful woman will lay hold of it. Good luck with that. Because you come up against a forceful man and we clash. I had a mate once, big guy, and every time I saw him, I used to give him a big hug. Trev Fear, do you remember Trev? Love you, Trev. And he always used to say, and he'd give me a big hug and he'd go, "When big men clash." So he was bigger than me. He's probably way bigger than me now. He's a truck driver, serious guy. What? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like. He said it all the way through Matthew. Go and have a look at all of those. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is in your heart. It's in the spiritual realm. Don't try and build things in the natural. Often we'll get mixed up by thinking that God wants us to do things in the natural realm. That's evangelical thinking. It's just the word only. God wants to move by his spirit. He wants to use the word and the spirit together. There's something very, very powerful about that. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard tree and the smallest seed of the garden. Is that right?
Seed.
Mustard seed. I started with seed. And you put the seed, the tiniest little seed, into the ground and it becomes the greatest bush. Then Jesus talks about the yeast in the dough. And the king, this is what he was saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's growing. It's forcefully advancing through you and me. Kingdom of God is here, came through Jesus. Don't think it's not, or he's coming in the future sometime to set up a kingdom. Kingdom's here.
Yes.
Now, it's in your heart. He lives. Very, very clear in scripture here. Jesus' teaching. It's not my teaching, this is his teaching. Starts with small beginnings. Becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. You started out as a baby, now you're bigger and bigger and bigger. Some of us are bigger than others. Some of us are smaller than others, but we did grow. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. We have is it not that time, is it? I'm having fun here this morning.
We love it.
Oh, man, there's so many things I'd like to say. I said it earlier. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we have an amazing spiritual heritage. If you look through all of the people of faith, and it comes down to this, they were all operating by faith, yet they were all waiting for something. They didn't see it in their lifetime. However, they were operating by faith. God loves faith. He loves just believing for the sake of believing. They were waiting for a day like ours. We are in that day that they were waiting for. Yet we sit back. Huh? We are to advance the kingdom. We are to cause the kingdom to grow, bring light to a dark world. We've let a lot of it go. And we are being affected by that right now in society. God, give us a Holy Ghost strategy as to how to get back on track and advance the kingdom of God before it's too late. Everyone okay?
Yes.
Can I buy your time for 5 minutes? Do you remember, again, back at Sesame Street? I don't know, Sesame Street must have really affected me. Do you ever know that guy with the coat and he goes, "Psst, hey, bud, I got something to sell you." Like that. Do you remember that? Do you remember that guy? And he opened his coat and he had all of these things in here to sell. He goes, "Psst, hey, bud, I got something to sell you. I got the kingdom to sell you right now. Can I sell you 5 minutes? Come on. This could be the best bit. Do you think I should get into sales?" "Psst, hey, bud." Hopefully I wear clothes when I do that. Can we talk about Abraham for just a moment? Because Abraham was a man of faith. He turns up in history. We don't know much about him, but he was a man of faith. If you look all the way through Genesis 12 comes along, verses 1 to 7, and Abram turns up. And Abram's called by God. By Genesis 15... God makes a covenant promise with Abram. It says, "I'm going to make you a man of many nations. My seed is just going to go forever and ever and ever." This eternal covenant. We read on a couple of chapters, and I'm sure Abram is excited because there's a little bit of impatience gone on. And that's where we get Hagar and Ishmael. Now, very interesting, out of Hagar and Ishmael, they're still blessed. God doesn't take the blessing away. Even when we make a mistake, God doesn't take the blessing away. They're still blessed. By chapter 17, there's a name change. And Abraham becomes the father of many nations, and Sarah becomes princess to a multitude. When we get a name change, when we get like, it's like a name change in the Holy Spirit, and you get a revelation of who you are. Don't stress, just look at the promise. Chapter 21, verse 12, read that for yourself. It actually says it. Don't stress. Look at the promise. What's your promise? What are you hanging on to? What's God said? What's the prophetic word? Hang on to it. Don't stress. It's going to happen. It's all right. And then comes the birth of Isaac, the promise. It comes to pass. What does God do? He tests it. I want you to kill him now. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, that Abraham considered that even if he did kill him, that God would raise him from the dead. He was hanging on to the promise. Even though when things get totally out of control, totally messed up, and you think, "God, where are you? Where are you?" He says, "Don't stress." And even if it, and even if I tell you to do something that's totally far out of your mind, just reckon unto yourself that I'm going to fulfill that promise no matter what. Because when God says it, when God says we're going to the other side, guess what? We're going to the other side, guys. Jesus said to the disciples, we're going to the other side. The big storm comes up. They get into fear. God was teaching them faith in the promise of what God was saying. God said, we're going to the other side. And God will always test you, testing your faith. Not you, it's testing what you believe. Do you really believe what I said? And when you do, you'll go straight through. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, through the valley, you go through. It says through. It doesn't say stop. It says through. When you go through, I'm going through. Say, I'm going through. I'll finish with this. What's your promise? What has God said to you? You're going to have to think about that. You may have to write it down. But we need some more Columbuses. We need some more Magellans. We need some more explorers to take hold of the promises of God and what God's told you in your heart to do. And God's, like in a sense, pleading with us. Will you just do it? Will you just... Yeah, T-shirt, just do it. Isaiah 44:3. I'll finish with this. For I will pour water on a thirsty land. Thank you for the drink yesterday, God. And streams on the dry ground, on the dry, brittle, cracked, frayed ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offering, onto the seed, it says, and my blessing on your descendants, that's you and me, and they will spring up like grass in a meadow, like a willow tree by a flowing stream. Willow trees by a stream sucks up a huge amount of water. They need a lot of water. That's you and me, friend. When we gather, the stream starts to flow. We are like oaks of righteousness. We are like the willow trees. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for today, for your promises and for my position in Christ. We are the people of your word, the promises of your word. We have been made powerful by the Holy Spirit. Help me appropriate these things by faith this morning. Lord, if I don't know what my identity is, help me with my position in you. And God, I pray that you would help us find the very thing you've asked us to do and just go do it. God bless you. You are fantastic people. Thank you for putting up with me this morning, taking a little bit more time than I normally would, but I got excited. I'm sorry. It's all good. It's all good.
To say thank you to our Facebook friends. I hope you really enjoyed our service this morning. Again, comment, like and share. And if you'd like to donate to the church, feel free. The little button at the top of the Facebook page there. God bless you and have an awesome day. God
bless. Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.